In the gambling world, high risk sometimes can lead to high rewards. In the federal government, getting rid of high risk leads to high reward. Dr. Steve Butler is executive director of the Air Force Materiel Command at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and joins me to talk about the high-velocity maintenance approach. Dr. Butler, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. What was the problem that you were trying to solve when you developed high-velocity maintenance? Set the stage for us, please.
We run the Air Force depots. It's a factory that repairs older aircraft like the C-130s and the F-15 fighters. So like any factory, we want to turn out products faster for less money at the same quality. So we studied and we looked around at other factories like Delta Airlines and other people who were doing similar repairs. And what we found was that they were spending more money up front, putting more maintenance people, more mechanics onto the plane itself, and even though they were spending more money, they were getting the products out faster and better and save money for the bigger enterprise, in our case, for the whole Air Force.
Now, we're focusing on all kinds of efforts to save money as part of our Rise of the Money People series this week, Dr. Butler. This program won you and your team a Presidential Rank, Distinguished Rank Award in 2011. How did you go about developing this approach, and what was the end result that you wanted to get to?
For a number of years, we've been sending our engineers primarily back to University of Tennessee and MIT to study lean manufacturing techniques and kind of industrial engineering methods. And after we got sort of a center of gravity of those people, they looked at our processes versus commercial processes and found that we were optimizing our maintenance money but causing the airplanes to come out slower. And so while we were saving money, we weren't saving money at the taxpayer level. And so by looking at these other airlines, and of course what Delta Airlines said is, yes, we're spending more money on our mechanics, but our money's made in flying the airplane. So the same thing with us. We had to change the culture of saving money in the maintenance budget in order to save even more money at the Air Force or the taxpayer level.
Now, you were doing this in a pre-sequester environment. You're obviously feeling the same pressures, maybe in different ways than other parts of the Defense Department, but you're feeling the same pressures that other parts of DOD are feeling. Do you think that there, if you were doing this now in a sequester environment, would you take a different approach, or because the end result is to try to conserve resources and deploy the resources that you have more efficiently, is the approach for somebody who may be starting what you started the same today?
I think it's still valid, but you've got to adapt to the change as we go. Certainly, if we bring on more mechanics to get the weapons out faster and then find out that we're going to have fewer airplanes coming into the depot, and then we'll have to adjust to that. But at any given level of stability, if we reach a level of stability, we would find that we can get the planes out faster, we can get them out with higher quality, and get them back into the hands of those who need them, and ultimately saving money at the taxpayer level at any size level. So we will adjust to furloughs, we'll adjust to sequestration, but I think even in the future, in a perhaps downsized Air Force, we will still benefit from this approach.
Dr. Steve Butler is Executive Director of Air Force Materiel Command and led the team that developed high-velocity maintenance approach that we're talking about today. Now, the award that you got for this a little while back mentioned effectiveness in dealing with employee unions, and you used the word culture a few moments ago, Dr. Butler. How did you go about getting buy-in at all levels culturally? Because, of course, human nature is, if I don't have to change, I'm not going to.
So the unions were part of the team from the very beginning, what we call pre-decisional. Instead of telling them after the fact, they were actually part of the planning team. And this all revolves around giving power to the mechanic. The parts are there ahead of time. The tools are there ahead of time. And it used to be all these rules that say you can't charge until the airplane arrives. But now we, before the airplane arrives, have all the parts waiting at the hands of the mechanic. We have all the tools waiting at the hands of the mechanic. It's like a surgeon who's doing his surgery and people are bringing him everything he needs to focus on the mechanic. And, of course, the mechanics are all our union employees, so they saw this as a huge benefit to them. So they were bought in from the very beginning. They were part of the planning team, and all of it revolved around the mechanics and the union telling us what they thought was the right thing to do. So this has been one of the great win-wins in this environment.
Sir, does this concept, or the process at least to develop the concept, apply in other places, maybe in Air Force Materiel Command? Have you used it in other ways? Or is this something that somebody could come to you and say, Dr. Butler, you did it this way and this way and this way, and I could apply that same technique in my organization too?
We think it's certainly part of the bigger, what we call lean methodology. A number of books are out now called, you know, lean thinking and lean approaches. And so we've applied that to a wide variety of areas, and there's certainly lots of good success stories. One of the more recent ones is they're trying to apply it to acquisition programs, which, as you know, take 5 to 10 years to get a major weapon system through. So we're just in the beginnings of that now, but trying to take some of these same lean methods that we've applied here in sustainment and apply it to acquisition to see if there's ways to, once again, put people against it, get it out faster. And even though it costs a little bit more up front, at the end, at the taxpayer level, you save money and you get a better product out faster.
Either in development, execution, or follow-up, any bumps in the road that if you, you know, knew then what you know now that you would have done differently, sir?
Well, certainly it is a cultural challenge because all of these things are different than the way we did them before. There's a rule that says you can't, you know, charge money before the plane arrives. And so we had to go change that rule, and certainly there was resistance to that. There's everything, everyone has their own toolbox, but in this case, we need the tools to be pre-positioned. We need other organizations to have the parts ready to go at the right time. So a lot of cultural changes, probably should have spent more time and energy up front getting everyone on board and buy-in, but we jumped in, and it's been very successful, and we've documented savings.